experience a brief simulation of a psychotic episode in a patient with schizophrenia.
Ah, look at that. The broadcast box is eligible to get Windows 10 for free.
Oh, boy.
Yay!
Reserve your free upgrade now. Go the fuck away. I'm using this thing.
Don't All accidentally right. click that.
what did we say this was? 187? This is Pure Decking Show 187 for... I'm rusty at this. August the 3rd? No, September the 3rd. I don't know what year it is.
It's the 2015. Fourth.
Not for you.
They call me the doctor.
I'm almost wondering if we should skip using show numbers and just go straight with the date.
The number's good. I like the number.
Yeah, it seems, I think if we go with a date, that's it just makes it a lot more convenient for the prosecution.
Fair enough. So this is Pure Decking 187. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I am Morps, and tonight, obviously, we have with us RU486. The BSV, Suave Potato, and Big Brother. Now, I'm in the broadcast box.
Suave gets a lost name.
Awesome.
Keep telling yourself that.
Thing.
I know your mom started that rumor, but I'm not believing in it just yet.
I just kind of read down on the chat list there. So, we're back.
Chaotic as ever.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to do a show again?
Sard!
I figure it'll just kind of come back to us. So, yeah. I don't have any show notes for 187, because whereas I planned on putting them together, I have no time management skills?
please present to talk now for an hour on 3D printing. Go.
Alright, so... I actually have been getting hardcore into 3D printing here for the past couple of months. That might be part of the reason why we delayed bringing the show back, because this thing is pretty fiddly. I started off with a FolkerTech Prusa i3 kit, and that took most of a weekend and then a little bit in the week to get assembled and running, and I've been repairing it ever since.
We know.
Yeah, you know
all the detail.
You all know, but nobody on the stream does. Yeah, you've all been hearing me bitch about it for months now. But
it's a labor of love.
You have to learn a lot about how the damn thing works. I'll tell you that. Which is why if you're going to get into 3D printing, don't just go buy one of the pre-assembled printers. Get a kit. They are not appliances yet. They sell a few that... There are a few companies that sell 3D printers as though they're appliances, where you just kind of buy them, plug them in, and use them. You don't have to assemble them or anything. But these things are fiddly. They break easily. They require a lot of precision to operate, and you really have to understand what they're doing to understand what to do when something doesn't work correctly. So, get a kit. Don't even... You know, if you just buy one, you're going to be on the forums going, thing don't work, no understand, what do? And people are just going to laugh at you. Like, a lot, actually.
If I've learned anything about you and 3D printing is, don't fucking do it, kids. It's just not worth it. Invest your time in wooing a female. Trust me, Morse would be married 10 times over by now if he'd invested this much effort into discovering what makes a woman work.
Yeah, like, if you want to get into it as a hobby, sure, go pick up like a $300 kit somewhere. But if you actually want something that's going to do work for you, you're looking at spending a couple $1,000s probably.
Easily. And, after the initial kit, I probably put at least $200 in parts into it. And probably
plus man hours, dude.
Hours and hours. And the worst part is, every time something breaks, you can't go get most of these parts locally because you need metric precision parts, and you can sometimes find the screws or the bolts, but certain size bearings, specific kinds of gearing, 3D printed parts to replace them.
Just a little pro tip there. Anywhere other than America, metric is not an issue on off the shelf.
Right, but can you just go down to the store and buy a 623ZZ bearing?
Yes.
Damn you.
He wins.
Because I have to wait on fucking shipping every time I have a bearing go out or something. So, I mean, you end up with a ton of spares.
Do you have a skateboard shop anywhere near you?
Yeah, but they're not going to carry that size bearing. That's too small for skateboards.
You never know.
What about inline skates?
Yeah.
That's the point. The early rep reps actually used skateboard bearings because this was the cheapest thing they could find.
They're also the best on the market.
So, and I have actually I've seen redesigns of parts to use the more readily available parts, which is probably worth looking into. But it's like, I don't want to tear apart the printer just to replace a part if it's not broken, and then when it's broken, you can't print the part you need to, replace, and it's a headache. But it's also a lot of fun, and I have been, I've printed tons of little stuff. Printed a Game Boy. Printed actually a shit ton of these battery caps in flexible filament, which are in line, like they hold four AA's, but they kind of just snap on the top. So, for packing batteries for camping, they're fantastic. I've got people at work going absolutely crazy trying to get me to run off more of them. And of course, I haven't been because I've been trying to print other things, and now the printer's broken again. So I got people at work going, "Oh, you got to fix it. I need more of those battery caps." It's like, dude, I'm going to have to start selling these things. Oh, that's okay. So,
selling those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
It's like a couple of bucks? Sure. But, it's interesting.
All right, that's 3D printing out of the way for another 2 years.
No, not really. I just found out something. Morps will find this interesting. I'm going to kind of read through a little bit of this article. 3D printing breaks the glass barrier.
I saw this.
As the amount of ink that we can actually print expands, researchers at MIT actually have figured out a way they can 3D print using soda lime glass. And that's all I'm going to read from this, so, go for
that's
it.
That's pretty nuts. Cool.
Yeah, I saw a part of that where they were printing out mostly just cylinders and testing it, but they actually can print glass, which on one hand is cool because obviously food safe, right? So you can start printing dishes with it. And that's an issue with 3D printing plastics is whereas you could print a cup with it, you'd be hard-pressed to use it more than once because even if you sanded it smooth and all that other stuff, filament-based prints are very porous. So it's not so much that I'm worried about getting plastic in the food. I guess that's a concern too, but I mean, kids have been chewing on Legos for, as children, for years.
Yawns.
And that's not.
If you're poor.
One thing about that MIT printer, I feel like they're kind of cheating a little bit because they're taking the glass and they're melting it in a furnace somewhere or something, and then they're dropping it into the top of the printer. So the printer isn't actually processing any of the material that's coming in, not heating it up or anything like that. Yeah, it's literally just, it's pretty much just a funnel that moves around.
They still have to get a printhead to sustain the heat, though.
If you look at it, it's literally just a funnel. But, it works, so that's fine. But I still feel they're cheating a little bit.
I'm not aware of anything that'll get hot enough to melt glass that would be small enough to put on a 3D printing head, though.
Yeah, thinking maybe there's probably some sort of an induction heater you could use. I realize that doesn't heat up the glass, but you could have.
Well, the problem I'm having is that you need such a consistent melt point to control it well and keep it flowing correctly, which is one of the reasons why MIT wasn't printing that much with it, is because they would fill up the funnel and let it run and that'd be it. But I'm not sure how you do that and maintain the temperatures that glass requires. Some variation on a Bowden tube, except it's molten all the way through it, I guess. That's not dangerous at all. Tube of molten glass going to this thing flying around a table? Yeah, that'll be great. It's like, hey, what's this dude burn?
So. Set the house on fire.
Although, to be fair, I have not actually burned myself on the 3D printer yet. So that's a plus.
I have.
And you burned yourself on my 3D printer?
Yeah, I snuck in the other day.
Oh, okay.
It was at my behest. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it all better then. So, yeah, Swamp, you were playing with a MakerBot. I mean, what happened to yours?
It kept destroying itself. It had a really bad extruder. Like, it was like the early generation early generation extruder. It just kept destroying itself. Like, the heat would travel too far up the tube, and the plastic would all melt too much. And, you know, and then it would ooze backwards and jam up and destroy itself and, like, push the end off. And, like, no matter how you configured it, that always ended up happening.
It's interesting because I've got my original extruder is equivalent to a Mark 7 MakerBot extruder, and it still has that fucking problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but this was a Mark 3 or something?
Yeah. I mean, last night, after about 4 hours into what was probably going to be a 9-hour print, it jammed up bad, and I can't even get the nozzle off to try to replace parts and get it going again.
Yeah.
That extruder may be done. I mean, I have another one that I was intending to install, but I'm going to have to do some modification on the parts I'd printed for it to even get it to work. So it's...
Yeah, like, I was smart and I ordered a repair kit with, like, enough parts to repair the hot end, I don't know, like, 3 or 4 times. And I've gone through that whole kit, all those materials.
Yeah.
Got nothing left to repair. Nobody supports the MakerBot cupcake anymore. So, well.
See, I lucked out in that I printed out some of the mountings and some of the different pieces to try to use this other hot end that I'm going to switch to. It's an E3D Lite. And or E3D version 6 Lite. So the only difference between that and a regular E3D is it has a PTFE tube. It's not all metal. So, but I feel like it'll still do better than the one I got. But the one I got destroyed itself last night, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get it apart to try to fix it. So I'm going to have to take a drill to the block I printed because its mounting holes are a little off. But I think I can get the printer going again, at least. But, yeah.
So that's 3D printing, kids.
So I'm probably never going to stop talking about that. It's going to at least get mentioned on decking every once in a while. I'm toying with the idea of doing a YouTube thing on 3D printing, so.
Good.
So. I'm rigging up a laptop to run OctoPrint so I can get time lapses.
That's all right.
Well, I did it on a Raspberry, but a Raspberry can't take very good pictures. So
yeah, I when I did it, I just set up a laptop with the webcam.
Yeah, that's the plan. Something's got enough horsepower to keep up.
Yeah, it was actually just what was it, like an Acer Aspire 1, like the first gen one or something.
This is a little HP Stream 11 I bought to screw around with and subsequently didn't do anything with. So, apparently, Matter Control has something that'll run on an Android tablet and do the same damn thing, but they don't sell the software. You have to buy the whole damn tablet. It's just like, eh.
Yeah, there ought to be some time-lapse apps on the Android for Android.
Well, there's straight time-lapse apps. I'm wanting something that'll run it while it's printing, so I don't have to go... You know, I don't want to have to hit 2 buttons.
Okay, I see.
Fuck.
2 buttons are too much.
Too much?
A man who puts 9,000 hours into a 3D printer doesn't want to press 2 buttons.
If I'm putting that kind of time in there, I want it automated.
Sounds like a Mac user to me. 2 buttons are confusing. I just need 1.
Ow! Oh, that hurt.
Oh, he's...
Like a paper cut.
Oh. You hurt me big. Right in the go fuck yourself.
Ooh. Hey, you've probably owned more Macs than most of us.
That's... Yeah, come over here, big. I'll rub you. Go true. Fuck yourself for you. I'll rub it better.
Wow. You know, we missed a very important step in the opening of the show tonight, and I'm going to attribute this to the not using of show notes. I am drinking a home-infused bourbon, infused with cherry and a little bit of vanilla. Big, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking nothing. That's why my usual wit and charm is nowhere to be seen right now.
Ah, so other than a nice tall glass of go fuck yourself, what are you drinking, are you?
I'm still relying on the blood alcohol content from last night. And a stiff glass of water right now.
Well, as long as it's a stiff glass. And, Suave, what do you have, man?
I'm drinking gin and things.
Stuff. Gin. Any stuff things. You can find Dang. Lying around. When you're done putting it in the mat, put it in the gin.
Gin and Listerine.
BSV. 9 out of 10 dentists, man. 9 out of 10 dentists.
Unfortunately, I don't have anything to drink either. I need to resupply.
Not even Listerine?
I don't want to drink Listerine, sorry. I don't need alcohol that badly.
That's a good idea, man. Gin and, what was it, soy sauce?
Why?
With a wasabi
kidding.
Chaser.
Really? Kidding. I was kidding.
I with a wasabi so. Chaser, I hope, man. Actually, I will give you $5 at the Mex meetup. Nope. You to do it. Go to a bar and ask for gin and soy
well,
sauce.
Now, wait a minute. Wait nope. a minute here, because
that is a perfectly good waste of good alcohol.
The last idea we threw around for a meetup was to do the bourbon trail. And if he's going to drink gin on the bourbon trail,
that's one problem with the bourbon trail is I don't like bourbon.
Well, that's unfortunate for you.
You haven't had the right
Sucks
bourbon.
For you, man.
Yeah.
You've not drank the right bourbon. Get you a little bit of Eagle Rare, Woodford Reserve, or any of these other decent mid-range bourbons.
Okay, man,
we're not buying the $600 bottle of bourbon. Don't misunderstand.
I'm not an alcohol snob, dude. I'll settle up to Drain Cleaner if it happens to be there. Okay. I'm the man who drinks domestic when in a foreign country.
Yeah, that's true. He Fair loves enough. Budweiser.
Ugh. But technically, when you're in a foreign country, domestic would be import. Would normally be import for you.
Yeah. I won't sink to a Pabst Blue Ribbon, but hot day and a low bank account, you never know.
Well, I mean, you know, we could suggest. Actually, you know, if I suggest you by domestic you meant Foster's, you'd probably get here faster.
Oh, fucker! Right in the go, fuck yourself.
Oh. Everyone's gonna fuck themselves tonight.
Oh, that hurts.
We need t-shirts. You know, don't be a fuckwit. Right in the go, fuck yourself. So. So, all right, let's try to get some stories in here. So, Suave, you had this thing on the City Run ISP.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the link.
Oh, here. Actually,
I suck at this without my show notes, I'll tell you what.
There's a link. Ooh, we is professional.
Professional radio station.
I'm stunned. I can't figure out whether we're using a soundboard anymore.
Is there a difference, really?
No. I don't know at this point.
Fuck,
we should start up a little game, soundboard or live.
What? You know, it's funny. I used to go nuts with the soundboard, and we hardly touch it now except to open and close stuff out. I still have that arcade button controller, though. I mean, we could, you know, I could build a soundboard.
It's okay. Just play with the printer.
Print a new soundboard.
Hey, I'm just exercising my second rights here, you fucking communist.
Yeah, I am. More of a socialist.
Go ahead, Swall.
Oh, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, municipal internet service provider in Salisbury, North Carolina, announced today that it is making 10 gigabit service available through the city, both to businesses and residents. City-run Fibrant, which has been deployed fiber throughout Salisbury, was created 5 years ago after city officials were unable to persuade private ISPs to upgrade their infrastructure. Gigabit down and upload speeds have been available to residents since last year for $105 a month. Fuck, for gigabit? Yeah. And then, you know, you can pay $45 for 50 bucks 50 megabit symmetrical. That's 50 up and down.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
That's never see that. Awesome.
That's a municipal internet, right? Yeah. So what they've done here is the city, instead of contracting out an ISP, you know, and giving them an exclusivity contract, actually just built their own based on their municipal infrastructure, and 10 gigabit. Damn.
We need to find out who the mayor of that city is and congratulate him on being such a forward thinker.
It's interesting because there's a handful of cities that have done this. And I know of Chattanooga has done it in Tennessee because they have a municipal 1 gigabit internet. And I was actually just trying to look up how much it is pricing wise, but it's fiber to the home, same thing. And unfortunately, it's a little bit far for me, so I can't quite get it. But yeah, they're doing it because they want to turn Chattanooga into the next. They want it to be a Silicon Valley. So I think it's the same thing. And whereas normally I would prefer free market to come in because of the way these I've got a guy at work who where he lives. AT&T owns servicing to the area and refuses to run a line to his house.
Wow.
And he literally cannot get internet. He found another DSL provider in the area who was willing to try to give him internet, and AT&T actually shut them down and would not let them run the line to his house.
Oh, wow.
So not only are they refusing to give him internet, they're refusing to allow, even though they don't service the area, they have the exclusivity contract, so nobody else can come in.
Don't you have anti-competition laws in your country?
Well, that's just it. AT&T has an exclusivity contract with the state for the area, I think. Or maybe it's the county. I don't know. It's one of the levels of government they've got a contract with to do it. And it's Madman speaks up on this all the time about, you know, how it's basically a state-granted monopoly. It's not real free market. So if they're going to grant a state monopoly, they might as well at least do it to one that provides good service. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And don't think that's basically a state-granted monopoly. That is a state-granted monopoly.
But, I mean, it's awesome because you're talking about... You see people saying they will move to areas for Google Fiber. And if a municipality comes in and does the same thing, I mean, if I was starting up a business, I wouldn't mind moving just to, you know, a little farther south to do it, just to have good internet.
These guys have 10 times Google Fiber speeds, don't they?
The one you were talking about, the Fibrant here in North Carolina, same thing. I mean, if you're going to move to an area and start up a web-based business, I mean, you know, someplace where you can get good internet that's not going to break the bank and no bandwidth cap, hell yeah.
For sure.
I mean, you know, that's how you, if you want, you know, data centers spun up in your your area, that's how you do it. So
that's a forward thinking council right there.
Well, like I said, I'd much rather see, you know, 5 or 6 ISPs competing in an area, but if you can't have that, this is the next best thing, I think.
I like it.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in all seriousness, you think about this, you're going to have people, especially people who are heavily involved in, you know, internet and data services, moving to areas like this, if they can, you know, especially if they work from home, if you work from home and have that kind of internet, so you can do all your teleconferencing, you can do your voice, you know, do your job. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the big conditions on us moving from this house, said to my wife. If I can't have the same speed, we ain't moving. You can move, I'll stay here.
That was actually something I was really happy about when I moved out of that really shitty apartment I was in. That's probably one of the reasons the show was so depressing, is I was living in this really crappy apartment last year. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when I moved back here, there was no high-speed internet. The internet you could get was through your phone.
The old dial-up sound?
No, it was just like, you know, use your phone as a modem sort of thing. Like, have your like 6 gigabyte a month plan.
You know, at that point, you almost wonder it would be better to go back to, like, an old AOL or something.
Yeah. It's too easy to blow through your cap in, like, a couple of hours.
Well, but, I'm thinking for, like, yeah, your slower stuff that's okay, that it's not fast.
Yeah. But they've actually had a fiber coming through town here for a couple of years before they finally got out to everybody's houses.
Started to turn it on.
Yeah. But, I was pretty down. I was the first person who called in to get internet when they had it. I was checking their website daily.
Serial stalker for the ISP. A
little bit. I even contacted their media person to get some details on when it was coming. I pretended to be from a newspaper that doesn't exist.
That is a level of commitment. Only to the point of sedation and then hospitalization.
I like it.
Yeah,
social engineering your way to better internet.
I needed my internet, and I needed to know when it was coming.
So
that is good.
Oh yeah. Oh, the Pentest Labs. Yeah, I saw some of this stuff. Big. It's, I haven't had a chance to really look at it, but I saw the link.
Yeah, I thought it might be something you want to talk about. I don't know. Fuck it.
Well, there hasn't been enough hacks since we've been on off air.
Look at it enough to really want to cover that just yet, but maybe next week for a dojo. So let's see what's next. This story is from the Daily Mail. Apparently, undercover FBI agents were spying on Burning Man Festival to prevent terrorism and to test out new intelligence collection technology. Now, beyond the silliness of spying on Burning Man, if you think about it, this actually makes sense, because if you're testing the surveillance equipment, you're out in the middle of the desert. There is no infrastructure. I mean, you want to see if your gear is hardcore or not. That might be a way to do it.
Although, at this point, Burning Man, like, they're pretty much just spying on a bunch of rich people.
Yeah.
What are the tickets now? Like, close to $400 or something?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's gotten to the point where they've
priced out all the hippies.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the bullet points here. I like this. Why I like Daily Mail. They give you the bullet points. FBI agents have been intelligence gathering at the Alternative Festival since 2010. They claimed it was needed to aid in the prevention of terrorist activities and intelligence collection. The methods used secretly collected. So they haven't said how they were doing it. And also said that free expression among the attendees was encouraged.
Wow, there's a lot of really high FBI officers.
Yeah, I think that's what they were doing.
They were using the expense account to go to a party.
Yeah, guaranteed there's like just a bunch of FBI agents just partying it up. Gathering intelligence. You can't see the air quotes, but I'm doing that right
now. No, but I can feel the breeze.
That, you know... I thought I remembered hearing somewhere that Burning Man had like a lot of naked people out there. So I wonder if their gathering intelligence was just, you know, snapping photos for the home folder.
Yeah, and taking the local LSD.
I bet you the FBI has the best home folder ever.
let's do the next one here. FBI probed man's video death by cops as ethics. Okay, this is the story that's been all over the place. Ars Technica. Bob, did you throw this one in or Big throw this one in?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that was a major story.
That's a major story. It's been all over the place that this guy was basically gunned down by police and somebody happened to record it. Good Lord, tickets to Burning Man are $800?
Yep.
Are they covering your travel to get out into the middle of the desert?
If you just want to go for one day, it's 390, looks like.
You guys
so, yeah, you'd go all the way shit. Out there just for one day.
Exactly.
So,
$800.
Oh, it's all- oh, no. Okay, so it's $800. What it is, I think that's the pre-sale. So you pay $800 to like make sure you get it. And
oh, I see.
The
yeah.
direct sale starts at $390.
Yeah, but from what, I understand, Burning Man's been sold out since like 2008.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I just don't see why, though. It's like one of those things where it's like, I'm going to go to this thing that's great now, but 5 years from now, it's like, you know, it's not going to be anything like the original 5 years from now, right?
Yeah, because like, so the tickets usually sell out like on the first day, let's say. So what they're doing, they're starting to sell tickets like a month early. Selling them for $800, so all once again, all the rich, super rich people buy all their tickets, and then whatever tickets are left over are $390 for the yuppies from the city, I guess.
Mm-hmm. My question is,
weed. You see?
It's just a big gathering in the desert. Why is there a limit to people?
Well, they're doing art installations now and shows and. Like I said,
oh, yeah,
nothing,
it's all planned
it's
out.
Not the original thing anymore.
Yeah.
So it's going from a weed LSD festival to a cocaine and ecstasy festival.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So back on the FBI story here. So this guy with the guy filmed with his cell phone, the cops arresting this guy with his hands raised, 41-year-old San Antonio man. And, you know, he was like, hands were up, surrendering. And they shot him dead. And
oops.
So the FBI is now looking into it. And interestingly enough, a dash cam has showed up from the one of the police cars, you know, showing a different angle of the same thing. And the story I last heard was that the cop said, oh, he had a knife.
Yeah, and there's no visible knife.
Yep.
He was running backwards as well, away from them.
Yeah, he was no threat.
He can't be... as a threat, but on this note, yeah, okay, maybe an unlawful killing, felt bad for the cops, bad for the family and everything like that, but let's not beat up on the cops here. This guy still had the police called on him for a reason. They showed up. You know,
that's true.
They were just doing their job, man, as an everyday thing. I'm not defending the law, the use of, you know, deadly force. But
cops got to do their job.
Exactly. You know, there's too much beating up on cops lately. But in saying that, I think deadly force should be the last option.
Yeah. They're just too ready and willing to pull the trigger. And you know what? Like, maybe he was, like, nervous. Like, maybe, like, one of his buddies got shot the other day or something, for all we know. Like, who knows? Maybe he's just, like, you know, something. But either way, like, then that person shouldn't be... done. Like, they should be aware of that. Like,
well, all the cop stuff that's been going on, you know, all the movements over this summer.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the snow to come and maybe calm the fuck down.
Well, I look at it like this. I mean, the cops are the guys out there on the front lines, right? So ultimately, they're the ones who are there. They're the ones who are dealing with this shit. And I feel bad for the family, but the cops did get called for a reason.
Yep.
And you know, if the video shows something else, this is why cops need body cams, really.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's not that we don't trust the police officer, because I think 9 times out of 10 it'd be to protect the police officer from some other bullshit. I mean,
yeah.
how often is this situation going the other way around, where something bad happened and there's no video and they're blaming the cop and the cop did nothing wrong?
Yeah, it protects both.
So
it protects the person having the complaint against them and the police mm-hmm. officer showing up. But then also, too, the cop should be granted a little bit of leeway within the way he deals with individuals, for the simple fact that day after day dealing with the same shit over and over again, it's got to grind, and sometimes you're just going to call a suspect or something a fuckwit. You know, they should allow a little bit extra leeway. Yeah, just slip a punch in every now and then.
Well, not only should they be allowed a little bit of leeway, they should be paid enough, and they should be able to rotate out so that people don't get quite so destroyed.
Burnt out.
Yeah, and that's the correct solution.
But I actually got into an argument with this, some guys at work over this, where they're pretty big liberals, but was going on about how it isn't right that, you know, the guy protecting his life is making as much as a guy flipping burgers at McDonald's, whereas we're paying some basketball player that he didn't like. I think it was LeBron James. Anyway, it was millions of dollars. He had some basketball player he was picking on. But
he didn't
think that was right. And it's
just
like
saying that EMS drivers get paid the same as McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, that's
what he was bitching about. And it's like the problem here isn't what the basketball player makes. That's irrelevant. The problem is that, okay, we don't think the civil servants are paid enough, and that's probably true.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that. Of course, then you got a question, where does that money come from to pay them? And that's where the problem comes in. The easy answer, you know, the ones that most cities go for would be to raise a property tax or whatever to handle that. I think they could make their budgets bounce a little bit better if they paid the politicians less. But that'll never happen.
Well, you know, one thing is, like, you have so many police per capita in the United States. I almost wonder if in some situations it might be better to just, you know, scale back the numbers and increase
the pay.
There are a ton of places where, like, you know, like, you hear about little towns where it's just like a few thousand people and there's like a police force of like 20 guys or something like
that. With a tactical force and a bear cat.
Yeah. Well, the military equipment notwithstanding,
you know,
I generally I'm all for the cops, and should be making more money.
And like, what is a very real problem is like what you guys were saying is they keep saying the low lives every day, you know, like dealing with criminals and like the lowest, like the worst of society every day, and they start to just see that in everyone because that's what they deal with. Like, so they become biased towards that kind of viewpoint.
Fact, Major, in every dealing with the cops that I've had, and I've had quite a few. Well, not a lot, but I've had a few. And it's
not a lot that he's willing to own up to.
Sir, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir, don't be a dick, and generally just don't be a fuckwit, and they're going to treat you like a human. If you start getting up in their face like, I'm a sovereign citizen, you know, and start doing all that fucking tumbly shit, I want the cop to beat you. You need a fucking lesson.
But you still get the cops who don't try that first. They go straight for the use of force, or, you know, like, they'll just like pull their gun right away and try to like intimidate you into being or something like that. And I feel like that's an improper
intimidation tool.
Yeah, but that's an improper use of that tool. You shouldn't pull a gun unless you're going to shoot somebody.
Yeah,
so you shouldn't be using it to like threaten someone. That's not, you should, if you're going to pull a gun, you should be ready to shoot somebody.
I mean, it's pretty easy to sit here in this country and criticize the American police force, but when you compare to guns per capita, I sort of understand why they're a little bit fucking nervous.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'd be ready. You know, like, if I thought that they had a gun ready that they were going to pull or something, I might. But, you know, when when you got somebody who's clearly not carrying a gun.
Yeah, I probably didn't need to have the guns drawn. I'll give you that. Maybe a taser. Maybe some CS spray.
Yeah. I think it's just the use of using it as an intimidation tool as opposed to a tool of last resorts.
Mm-hmm.
I think plenty of countries have been plenty intimidating using all kinds of other.
It's like, you're going to tell us where you got the weed or we're going to waterboard you with mineral oil.
Oh, God.
Oh, I pray for the day.
Oh, God.
I pray for the day when that is like the police state that is the United States.
Stops walking down the street with like a big water jug in one hand and a towel in the other.
Nope.
Fucking on the street waterboarding
people.
So we're not allowed to waterboard you, There's no regulation from using the same method with a giant tub of Tabasco, however.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what crimes you've committed in the last 24 hours. Yeah, just grabbing random citizens.
How much time do you have?
How much time do we have? The world.
Gonna be here for a while.
Oh, okay. So let's move on from that. Tox. Tox is hang some. Oh, I guess we should play this.
Me love you long time.
Na 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 sard.
That's racist.
Yeah, sard is pretty racist. Anyways, so Tox. Major, you wanted to talk about Tox?
I don't know a ton about Tox. It's just it's like a Skype alternative. They've put it together. There's going to be file sharing in it. It's a peer to peer, so there's no centralized servers. It looks like they use distributed hash tables.
Yeah, it's a modification of the BitTorrent method of identifying each other. So instead of setting up accounts, you generate a identifying hash, which is just a cryptographic string, right? So ideally, it's going to be pretty unique, and it's going to be pretty hard for somebody to spoof it, because I assume if they're doing this properly, I haven't pulled down the program and picked it apart, but I'm assuming that that means they're also generating the key pair to go with that hash, so that you know you can do the public-private key crypto and prove that, you know, yes, I'm really me. I'm not just saying I have somebody else's hash.
Yeah.
And it uses DHT, which comes from BitTorrent, to pair up, you know, one user to another. At first, I was afraid that it went over Tor, because I was thinking at one point it did. But it looks like it doesn't. It looks like it's just strong cryptography and DHT as opposed to centralized accounts. So the cool thing about that, though, is, you know, because there's no centralized accounts, if you think you might have been compromised, you can just ditch your old hash and key pair and spin up a new one.
Cool. Keep convincing me.
Let's see here. No servers at all. It's IP to IP. I guess the only question is, can it do group calls?
I think so, because I'm in it right now, and it's got a group chat option.
Okay, so here's what I saw that was making me think Tox went over Tor. There's a guide for using one of the clients, it looks like Toxic Tunnels, over Tor. So some of their clients do that, but Tox itself as a protocol does not. So that's interesting, though. So I haven't really played with Tox. Big, you said you had it up?
Yeah, I've got it open. There's my hash in chat.
Let's see. His hash is 885 go fuck yourself morps 18C3. That's very specific.
It's weird. I don't know. I had no control over that. It's just
completely random.
Magic. No, there is a group chat option. It looks like they've also got video calls. I don't know if it's implemented, though.
Would you pull down Qtox or...
Yeah, Qtox.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just installing this right now, live on the show.
Exciting show. Hey, there's Suave.
Oh, they also give you a QR code that you can share with people.
Yep.
Oh, sweet. No installer.
Yeah, there's no installer. Nope. Whenever it starts up, it's like, what's your username? What's your password? Here's your hash.
So it's portable. Throw it on a flash drive.
I may have to get this.
So you can use it for all of your nefarious deeds?
Pretty much. Well, at the moment, I don't have a chat program apart from Steam. As my Skype account got compromised in an embarrassing way. But...
And just like the great Alexander... Fuck. It's just like the great Alexander Graham Bell... Our first messages to each other were penis and suck my taint.
Oh, you pioneers.
Yes.
You pioneering gentlemen, you.
Yep.
That's great.
Need the let's see, Tox ID.
Great dead air we're giving out here.
Well, just hold on, guys. Just imagine us frantically clicking around our computers, running installers. Just picture that in your mind. You know, click.
How big is the program?
So I'm gonna ask a dumb. Oh, never mind.
Oh, I think it's like 14 megs.
Yeah, it's really tiny.
Okay, no, that's cool.
There is a bit of time
whenever you get your hash, but I found it.
There is a bit of time whenever you try to add somebody. I guess it's. I don't know what the hell it's doing.
Gotta
help the hash.
It is putting malware on your machine.
Yes!
Whoops.
So we've established it seems to work pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't tried a call with it yet, but I'm pretty sure over this week.
Trying to chat thingy right now.
Okay. Good. So Skype can go suck a big fat dick. Or are these guys going to go away like everybody else?
We'll see.
There's
how
no servers,
how
so it should
works.
Work as long as we all want to use it.
Yeah.
And they just got fully funded on Indiegogo to be working on this full time. So that's pretty cool.
That
nice.
Is cool.
That's awesome.
So, Digital Dojo number one, Tox, looks like that's nice and that there's no server. And fuck, they've got Android and iOS clients.
Oh, so it's mobile as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm interested.
I may be convinced.
Leave that
sometime
running.
Later on.
Oh, just because I had my BT sync folder up that I used to move some things around. Anybody else see the Munchkin rules got updated? Like in 2010?
Oh. No.
Yeah, some people were playing it at work and they drew 8 cards to start with. It's like, what the hell are you doing? And they handed me the rules and it's like, shit. Then I realized how much more civilized other people play that game than we do. Like, there were zero threats of thumb breaking. Like, seriously? I mean, it was a game.
How you play.
A game of Munchkin without threats of physical violence. When they were splitting up treasure, they just had the treasure down on the table. It's like, what the f... Like,
what?
Who the hell...
What, and no one had a Balkan hammer?
I mean...
Isn't the win condition for that game surviving being beaten up by the other players?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean... It's like nobody got tied down to the chair and forced to drink a bottle of a Windex.
My favorite pot.
I don't know. So cool.
That's pretty good. I'm interested in that program now. I'll look at it while I'm drunk because that seems to be the only way I'm installing things lately.
So here's a question: can we send files over this thing?
Well, Big said we had a file sharing
option. Can.
What do you do? Just drag it onto the swap hasn't accepted my invite because I guess he doesn't.
Oh,
like
I'm sidetracked. Hold on. Doing things.
The swap.
Are you looking at the sexiest girls arrested last week website as well?
Maybe.
Pretty good.
There, I'm just trying something out. And something else I think you need. Very good.
Let's see how quick this is. Well, it's already blowing Skype out of the way.
That's pretty quick.
Wow. You transfer a file that quick?
About 150 kbs.
Well, it's pissing all over Skype by now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just sent him a couple of PDFs. The first one's already done. It was like 3 meg. The 20 meg one might take a little bit longer.
I know last time me and Big were solving files through Skype, it was taking fucking forever. Wait.
Well, that's because they have to copy it up to the FBI, Microsoft servers, and the CIA. So, you know, that triple file.
Oh, some pitches I won't get back.
So, excuse me, Mr. NSA, I've lost my hard drive. Can I get the backup you all took, please?
That'd be great.
Can someone write a letter like that?
So, it doesn't look like you can share files on group chat. Really?
Does it have a file size limit?
I don't see one. I mean, don't I just see why. A file.
I would have one since it there's no server, so.
Yeah, so it's just as quick as the connection between you and the next person.
Let's see here.
Pretty good.
Big, that is a horrendous wallpaper. I just want to point that out.
Fuck you, nigger.
That joke's on you. But, and I can't see any of your icons because you have them specifically covered by the Tox client there, but yeah.
Yes, I do.
Clever girl.
Yeah.
Wait. I can kind of see some of them behind there. N something, and then next line, SH something. I'm going to assume that says nude shots.
Yes.
I'll give you copies later.
No, enough of that. So, final thing for Digital Dojo tonight, and this is something I'm looking forward to playing with. I found a use for my Nexus 7 that's going to be great fun. Is everybody here familiar with Google Cardboard? I know Suave is.
Yes, I am.
I had it explained to me yesterday.
Mm. Okay. So, for anybody who's not familiar, Google put together this idea of folding up a piece of cardboard, putting some lenses in it, and dropping your cell phone on the other end to make an Oculus Rift. And it actually makes sense, because if you think about it, a lot of the hardware is the same. High-res screen, accelerometers, you know, radios, and it seems like a cool idea. So, in the Google Store, there's an app called Trinus VR, TRINUSVR. And it does the same screen sharing. You see it from a lot of these tablet applications that let you use your tablet as another screen on your computer, except it acts like it's an Oculus Rift. So you take your phone, you fold up about, you know, 5 cents worth of cardboard, and then go steal the lenses out of something. And you put this app, which, by the way, is free. It doesn't even look like it's, it doesn't cost anything. And you can use your phone like it's an Oculus Rift.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to trying this out with my Nexus 7, because it's a nice big tablet with a decent screen on it. And I could possibly 3D print my cardboard so it'd last a little bit longer.
Good idea.
I mean, if you wanted to do it, you could actually go to Amazon or something like that and buy a plastic cut version of the cardboard.
Well, actually, because I wasn't sure what lenses I could use, went on Amazon, ordered one of their $6 kits because it comes with the lenses.
Was it the plastic or cardboard version?
It's cardboard because I've got a 3D printer. I can print the plastic.
What you should do is actually measure out your face and design yourself like a custom designed, like perfect fit.
Something that goggles works right.
So you can actually take advantage of being able to 3D print. Anything you get mass produced is going to be the same as what everybody else has, and that's what it is when you just go.
Yeah.
You know, with 3D printing, you might as well do something custom.
Yeah, customize.
That's what they're good at.
Yeah. Make sure it actually fits your face. So, anyways, gentlemen, I think we're about ready to call this. Anybody got anything they want to throw out before I start trying to find music to close things out with?
I'm pretty
good.
Save
the internet. Actually, I do have one quick thing. Let me pull that back up.
All right, go ahead, Big.
Okay, right now the FCC is considering a proposal requiring manufacturers to lock down computing devices, routers, PCs, phones, whatever, to prevent modification to have any if they have a modular wireless radio or a device with an electronic label, meaning it says FCC on there. It will restrict the installation of alternate operating systems like Linux, OpenBSD, FreeBSD, prevent research into advanced wireless technologies, blah, blah, blah. Basically, the FCC and the American government have extended the deadline to October 9th, but they are proposing that they will lock down computers to a specific software and prevent you in quote marks from unlocking it and using alternate firmwares. So, say, or jailbreaking your cell phone. They would make that illegal.
Well, now, wait a minute here. You said, so are we talking about firmware, or are we talking operating system? Because those are not the same thing.
Well, the way this reads, both. Basically, if it says FCC anywhere on it, it has a wireless device in it, such as, you know, cell phone radios, wireless devices, Bluetooth, it will affect this. Ban installation of custom firmware on your Android phone and prevent you from installing Linux, FreeBSD, OpenBSD, etc.
Well, I'm not sure about that because firmware is not the same thing as your OS.
Oh, I know.
Firmware is usually in your drivers or. Jeez, I don't know how the hell you'd enforce that.
I have no idea how you would too, but it is something that they're trying to look at as a thing, I guess.
And look at your link here.
I had a better link. I'm trying to find it now.
They have Wi-Fi individual comments. Right now, FCC is considering proposal. So this Libre Planet is saying that, which that's no surprise. But let's see. Do they have a link where what they're actually considering that's not? Here we go. Office of the Federal Register proposed rule. Document proposes rules that govern the evaluation and approval of RF devices. Commission last blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Synopsis. Telecommunications sector depends on the variety and utility of radio frequency devices. The purpose of this notice of proposed rulemaking is to update the rules that govern... My God, everyone's going to fall asleep. That govern the evaluation and approval of RF devices. Commission proposed two separate product approvals. Declaration of conformity to the rules and replace requirements that only apply to devices classified as software-defined radios with broadly applicable rules based in part on current commissions. Okay, so how are they defining a software-defined radio? Because to me, your Wi-Fi card is not a software-defined radio. In the strictest technical terms, it is, but it can only do a handful of channels. You can't tune to any frequency you want with it, and you have to do, you know, 802.11 Wi-Fi on it. There's no, like, you can't pick up TV with your Wi-Fi card. Usually, right. Software-defined radio means you can tune it however you want, and then you can program the decoder. You can't program the decoder on Wi-Fi. Same thing with Bluetooth. Same thing with procs.
But,
same thing.
Like,
with...
there's no reason to make that illegal. You already need to get a ham license to operate something like.
For some things, yeah. Because I'm actually been looking into getting a ham license. But
yeah, me too.
Do bad trucker radio to each other. That'll be hilarious. 10-4 rubber ducky.
Don't ever do that
again. I don't think it's rubber ducky. I don't think it's rubber ducky. Don't say that, dude.
I'm triggered now.
You can be triggered all you like.
He's been triggered his whole life.
I am.
Watch me not give a shit. Let's see. Commission proposed to codify procedures related to electronic labeling, streamline the rules for measurement. Procedures, market-sensitive information. Commission found that its proposals would better align equipment authorization. So where is this? Because I'm not seeing it in the synopsis.
Okay, the synopsis is being so generic that they're not actually telling you anything. They're saying things like RF devices must comply with the commission's technical and equipment authorization requirements.
Right.
They don't tell you what those requirements are. They just say it has to comply. That's the synopsis. So you have to go read it's like they're intentionally hiding what this does. I'm up to point 6, and I have no idea what they're talking about.
Okay, I think I found the part that everybody's losing their mind over. Part B, Section 38. The commission promotes to eliminate exceptions to the principle that certified devices could not be modified by third parties unless the third party receives its own certification. It proposed to revise section 2.909D, so I guess you should have to go read whatever that section is. Nice how it doesn't tell you what document that is, which allows a new party that performs device modifications without the consent of the original guarantee to become responsible for compliance by labeling the device with a statement indicating it was modified, with the requirement that the party obtain a new grant of certification. it would have to specify a new FCC ID unless the consent of the original is also obtained. The commission asked whether the new procedure should also apply to parties that currently market devices with modified certificate. So, if you're going, what that means, if I'm reading this correctly, is that if you want to allow, like you're selling a computer and you want to allow the installation of something other than Windows on there, you would have to certify that as the manufacturer. Otherwise, if somebody wanted to put Linux on their laptop, that individual, or possibly the Linux distro, would have to go get certified for that device. Ooh.
The way it reads, it would be the Linux distro. So you'd have to get something that's authorized for this equipment. But I may be reading that wrong.
Well, or that, or they slap the owner of the equipment with the with a fine for making modifications to their stuff illegally. Good God, that's Shadowpunk. Or that is some Shadowrun shit right there.
There you go. Yes, it is.
I mean, you can't. Oh, it's illegal to modify your device.
I for one welcome FCC our dystopian overlords. That's where it's going. I thought we were not going to make this depressing.
Too bad.
I tried.
God damn it.
I tried. I really did.
Right, and they go, fuck yourself.
No kidding, right? Well, we tried to be happy, but the world dragged us back down and proved to us that that's still cyberpunk. So, I'm going to close out here with some Neon Shutter Echo Transit. That's all I got. If anybody has anything else other than Big, since Big had to bring the whole thing down for us.
I'm depressing.
Thanks, Big. Okay. Do you guys want here's a little bit of good news here that's coming out. A German company, Germany's Aerospace Research Center, has renewed a decades-old plan for a suborbital passenger space plane. It could fly from Australia to Europe in under 90 minutes.
Is it bad that I want to say we'll make the space planes run on time?
As long as you're using proprietary software on those space planes there, don't be using no an in-house built shit.
Got to be approved.
The 50-passenger hypersonic suborbital air.
Nope, didn't work. Didn't work.
I wonder what they're planning on doing. Is it just, ooh, I'm in space and now you're back on the ground? If so, what's the price tag?
It's from getting from point A to point B really fast.
It's from getting troops from point A to point B really fast.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, PSV, you're right.
I'm sure it's probably going to be for the military, you're right, in which case, price tag, what's that matter?
Space Marines!
Get them closer so I can hit them with my sword!
No Warhammer for you, Big.
I'm going to close this out before somebody starts worshiping chaos, so...
Blood for the Red Gods!
Too late. And with that note...
you have any discomfort during the experience, please signal a facilitator.